Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, today I want to begin to talk about something I have titled Creating the Opportunities for Prosperity. That is, there are things that we need to do in life to allow God bring forth what He wants to bring forth into our lives. And I need to emphasize something about that, the importance of you and I in the scheme of affairs of this life, before we can go into the depths concerning what I want us to learn from that, creating the opportunities that are necessary for prosperity. When I say creating the opportunities, I'm emphasizing that we are very important, you and I are very important. Now, if you read from the book of Psalms 115, in verse 16, David said it this way. He said, "The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men." What he was saying there is that God, we know, created everything. He's the Lord of all. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. But in the scheme of operations, day-to-day operations, He has decided that the person who rules on this earth are the people that He placed upon it. That's why He said the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He said, but the earth He has already given to the sons of men, to the children of men. That is, we are responsible for the things that happen on this earth. God is not primarily responsible, and Satan is most certainly not responsible. Sometimes we say that this is the work of the devil. Yes, we know. And we are not saying that the devil didn't do its work. But whatever the devil did, we are still held accountable. Because if we did not give the devil the room, it's not possible for him to have done anything on the earth. I'd give Judas as an example. Like I say once in a while, I said, indeed, Satan pushes people. People will tell you sometimes that the devil made me do it. And we know it as a matter of fact that when, that at the Last Supper, after Jesus served the bread to Judas, the Bible testifies that Satan entered into Judas, and Judas set out to go and do that which he had proposed to do. That is, we have biblical testimony that indeed Satan pushed Judas to do what he did. But he still held responsible. Jesus said concerning the man who would betray him, that it would have been better that he was never born. That is, the judgment for his betrayal was going to be severe. But that is, Jesus understood that, yes, we know that Satan will push this guy, but he is the one that placed himself in the position where Satan could push. And that's why Satan decided to push him. That is, we still hold him responsible for the fact that Satan pushed him. So is the work of the devil? We know. But somebody gave room to the devil. That's why the Bible tells us that give no room to Satan. Because Satan cannot do anything until we give him room. Now let me say this again. When it comes to God also, this is how it is in our lives. This is how it is in our environment. If we do not give God the room, He also cannot do anything for us. God has all the powers that we know. But the fact that He has all the powers does not mean that He can just do anything He wants at any time. Especially when it concerns your life and when it concerns my life. God has to discuss with us, and we have to open our hearts and our hands up to God for Him to be able to do that which He is able to do. When He wanted to deliver the children of Israel, He found it almost impossible to deliver them. And He now lamented through Isaiah. If you read Isaiah chapter 50 in verse 2, He says that, "Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom, or have I no power to deliver?" He said, "Behold, there are demonstrations of my power." If you read, He said, "Behold, I dry up the sea with my rebuke. I make the rivers a wilderness. I cause the fish to stink for lack of water because they have died of thirst." He said, "But even though my hand is not shortened, what is the reason why I cannot deliver people?" He said, "It is because they have been sold for their iniquities, and for their transgressions they have been sent away." In Isaiah chapter 59, God said it like this. He said, "It is your iniquities that have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." It is not because He cannot deliver. It is because the hands of the people are defiled with blood, and their fingers have been soiled with iniquity. He said, "Their lips have spoken lies, and their tongue has uttered perverseness." He said, "Because nobody is calling for justice," in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 59. He said, "Neither is anyone pleading for truth." He said, "They all trust in vanity, and they speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." This is the reason, He's saying in effect, why it is impossible for the hand of the Lord to deliver them. That is, God has the power, but the power of God is restrained when the people He wants to act on their behalf don't give Him the release. Are you getting my point? So that he'll be able to act on their behalf. I'm emphasizing the fact again that the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Remember, I said my topic for these discussions I'm starting this time is creating the opportunity for prosperity. I am saying that if we do not create the opportunity, God cannot create it for us. We have to stretch forth our hands and do things that are necessary for the prosperity that God wants to give us to come to pass. You know, in the last few weeks, I've been talking extensively about the matter of the kingdom of God. I've spoken about what it means to enter the kingdom. I've spoken about how people will enter the kingdom. That is, we said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be washed of water, that is spiritual water, he cannot enter into God's kingdom. And don't forget, what was the reason why Nicodemus came to Jesus to come and ask concerning the entrance into God's kingdom? He said it was because he looked at the works that were characteristic of the life of Jesus Christ, and he had to testify that nobody can do these things except God is with the person. That is, he was saying that we have seen you deliver the sick, we have seen you raise the dead, we have seen you open blind eyes. And like Jesus testified to the disciples of John, he said, the poor I have given the gospel to them. That is, the mark of God's kingdom is that the things that Satan brought into existence are being overturned. Are you getting my point? So we have said that when we step into God's kingdom, God begins to do such things for us. We walk naturally above all the works of the enemy. When we have been, I talked about breaking the yoke of Satan. When you find the yoke that Satan has placed upon people, when we step into God's kingdom, because of fatness that we begin to experience, that is spiritual fatness, feeding on God's word, it causes us to become so large that we automatically break the yoke of Satan. But this is the important thing. We are now walking in God's kingdom. God wants to give things to us because of that. But he says we must create the opportunity for him to do it. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? If you read from the book of Psalms, in Psalm 78, there was something there that David said, talking about how people relate with God and why you must make up your mind to create the opportunity for prosperity. First in your life, and also in the lives of the people around you, that is in your community and in your society. He said in verse 41, describing the encounter that is between Egypt and the promised land. He said, and again they tempted God, that is in the wilderness. He said, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. I like the way it says in the New Living Translation. He said, and again they tested God's patience and frustrated the Holy One of Israel. I like the word frustrated because it shows you that God is trying to do something. You know, you use the word frustration when you want to do something and you are constantly being hindered from doing it. That is, for you to be frustrated, first there must be a willingness. Are you getting my point? You are never frustrated concerning things you don't want to do. It's what you want to do that you are frustrated concerning. So when I have the willingness to bless people and I'm unable to bless them, you say I have been frustrated. That is, as a living God now. So the Bible said they tested God in the wilderness. They tempted God, and in that process, they frustrated God from doing the thing he wants to do. That is, God had the power to bless them. God had the power to bring them in one moment from the land of captivity, Egypt, into the promised land. But because of their own attitudes. Now, from the book of Hebrews, we understand that if we are mindful of something, again, opportunities are created for us to bring those things to pass. That is, if you constantly put your mind on something, an opportunity will be created for you to do it. So what happened with the children of Israel was that God wanted to take them to the promised land, but Egypt did not leave their heart. Are you getting my point? And I'm going to start with that one today. For us to understand the first thing that we do in creating the opportunities for prosperity. Now, I'm explaining here that people can frustrate God. So Egypt did not leave their heart. So every time a little bit of challenge will come, they start remembering Egypt. And in their hearts, they will return back to Egypt. Several times, they try to appoint leaders to take them back into Egypt. They made a God that was supposed to lead them back into Egypt. Now, what I'm trying to bring out here is this, that God wanted to take them to the promised land, but they frustrated his plan for their lives because of their attitude. Are you getting my point? Don't forget I said it. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. A lot of times, you see, because of the happenings in contemporary Nigeria, things are happening in this our country, Now, maybe as a Nigerian, a lot of times people say, "Ah, no, if you go to those, if you go to those advanced countries, you're talking about North America. You're talking about a lot of Western Europe." And he said, "Those countries, they are so advanced. Therefore, what we should do as Nigerians is let us all try and get visas and go there." I say all the time, those places were created by people. Do you follow my point? For me, if I witness things happening properly, I say, "Oh, things are working very smoothly here. Something's working very beautifully there." For me, it has never been a case of, "Ah, let us go and live there and enjoy the things that are existing there." For me, what's always there is that I say this was created by somebody. Are you getting my point? This was allowed. Somebody created the opportunity for this prosperity. And for me, it's always a challenge that there is something I can do to bring a particular level, are you getting me, of prosperity to my own community. Recently, I was watching an advert on TV of one of the Nigerian big companies, and they were describing the things they are trying to do to bring a certain level of development to this country. Of course, they were advertising their products. They were getting us ready to come and use their services. I understand that. But when they finished it, they said that, and this time around, this is starting from Nigeria. Listen, I looked at the advert and my heart was glad. Are you getting me? Now, so I look and I said, look, these are the things that we go to foreign countries and we look at and say, "Oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, I want to come and live here so I can enjoy it." I saw that the company is telling us that this time around, we are starting it from Nigeria and this thing can work from Nigeria. And my heart was proud, and instantly I became their disciple. Are you getting what I'm saying? Instantly my heart began to pray for the leadership of the company that, "Listen, God, this thing must succeed. Please bless them. Let this desire that they have in their hearts succeed." What am I trying to say? Yes, America may be good. I know that United Kingdom might be good, but I'm saying Nigeria can also be good. Cameroon can be good. Kenya, with all the crisis there right now, can be good. There is no African nation that cannot be good. Please, I feel like digressing a bit to explain the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and why I'm so proud at this particular season to be a Nigerian and to be a black man preaching the gospel of God. I've said this again and again. Please hear me one more time. The reason why generally in the world, the poorest of nations are black nations is spiritual. It has to do with their ancestry. And that's a matter of fact. The reason, no, at the point in time, Haiti, populated by black people, was just the poorest and most, that the least developed nation on the earth. As a matter of fact. For those who want to know, also, at that time, those of us who know spiritual things, we know that they have the heaviest level of occultic involvement on the earth. Satan's throne resides there. And that's what's manifesting as a decadence in their society. Now, there's a spiritual reason why this thing started. But my own emphasis that makes me happy is that I live in a time where the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Jesus that shed his blood so as to equate the spiritual power of the white man, of the advanced countries, and that of the black man. I live in a season in which the world is going forth, and I am sure of one thing: between my generation and that of my children, we will show the glory of God despite the color of our skin. Are you getting my point? That what Jesus came to do was to make one man just as important as the other one. What Jesus came, that is why I say it all the time, I will never be a white man's slave. Never. I don't care what he has to give me. The reason is simple, because I recognize that I carry a substance that in my life must be shown forth, that God's glory is indeed being manifested through his son Jesus Christ. And if I did have believed in him, then my life must tell a story about the Lord Jesus. It must. Get my point? I am the witness. Are you getting my point? I am the witness of the fact that indeed he died, he rose again to show that sin has been forgiven, that all the curses of the ancestors have been removed from the life of every black man who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I walk with my shoulders raised. I walk with pride. I know I am not a second class citizen. I am a man of purpose. I am a man of importance. Why? Because Jesus said every curse that the ancestors gathered to keep you in bondage has been removed by the power of my shed blood. As a matter of fact, I believe that so absolutely. So I know that indeed from this nation, great things will come forth. Just to show that in Jesus is alive. Are you getting my point? Just to show that indeed Jesus is alive, it will come forth. I believe that absolutely. There is a spirit of the victor that I breathe. No, get what I'm saying? When I'm thinking as a victorious man. If I'm driving on the road, I am seeing things. I'm seeing how they can be better done. And listen, as long as you keep contemplating good things, eventually the opportunity for you to create them, get my point, will be given to you. That is a matter of fact. In fact, that, like I said, that's where I want to start from. Talking about that, the first step in that creating the opportunity for prosperity. What I've said up to this time is for us to realize one thing, that whatever good will come upon this earth, it is those of us that live on this earth that will create it. Are you getting my point? And in different times, I have been teaching about the importance of spiritual things. That is, it's not just the man that wills. There are people who will. They try the labor, but there is a curse upon them that does not allow them to succeed. Listen, when I'm talking about curse, I'm not talking about one witch in their village. Look, forget those things. Those things are jokes. Any man that a witch can curse is because the person is cursed already. Let me say to you again. If a witch has power over you, you had a problem before that witch was born. Do you understand my point? With all the power of Balaam. Listen, Balaam was so powerful. People who wanted to go to war used to pay him to come and pray for them. You know what I'm saying? Like Balak did. If he wasn't getting results, you think Balak would have been chasing Balaam down so hard? No. But when Balaam got to the people of Israel, he looked at them. He said, this once, there is nothing you can do. There's no enchantment that will work against them. Are you getting my point? None. That is why people come and wake up, they won't sleep at night. See, you are praying against witches. He says, some people will tell me, Christian, why are you sleeping? You should be awake. Your enemies are awake. They are, many ways can be awake. The Bible said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. Let them stay awake. They are the ones that know what's keeping them awake. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Like I said, the boss of a company will never carry placard to sack his driver. Never. It's the driver that will be shouting, they are not treating me well. I want better benefits. I am the boss. The witch is the driver. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's a low-level person. I fire you. No, so I will not stay awake because my enemies are awake. The person who does not ever sleep, who does not ever slumber, is the God that I serve. He doesn't ever sleep. So why should I share his job with him? The witch can stay awake. All the occultists can stay awake. In peace, I will lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. And he that keeps Israel does not ever slumber nor sleep. You are getting the prison analysis here. So when I'm talking about curse holding somebody down, I'm not talking about small, jobless people cursing you from the village. In fact, the problem that most times people who say they are cursed, I've said their curses are in their hearts. Are you getting my point? It's their evil character that's their problem. They're just looking for a jobless old woman to put the blame upon. And when you go and meet a prophet that's as confused as you are, he will find, you must have a relative that's old and is jobless and is in the village. They will always point. I've had relations before that had problems in their businesses. Are you getting me? And they went to a pastor or a prophet to go and pray. And the pastor pointed to one or two people living in the home and said, these people are witches. When I heard the story, I laughed. I said, that pastor is blind. That prophet is confused. Because I know you, my relation, you are indisciplined. You lie a lot. There is nothing you do that I can swear by as the truth. And you are telling me a witch is worrying you. May God have mercy on you and your pastor and your prophet. You get what I want to say. Please, let me not digress too much. Let me stay on the core of what I'm going to talk about. So the reason why sometimes people will struggle, all right, actually is that there are things, spiritual weights that are heavier than them, that are holding them down. But my gospel all the time is for us to understand. The Bible says, for this cause were the Son of God made manifest, that it might destroy all the works of the devil. My life must show that it's been destroyed. And for everyone who listens to me, listen, I am a minister of God. When I say I'm a minister of God, I don't mean that I'm a preacher. I mean I serve the Spirit of God into the lives of people. If you hear me, if you imbibe the truths I am explaining, that I am preaching, as a matter of fact, your life also will show forth the glory of God. That's a matter of fact. This is not begging. Jesus will come and say, I am the bread from heaven. I am telling you, I, Pastor Banky, am a minister of the Spirit of Christ. If you imbibe my words, your life will never be average. Listen, if you imbibe the truth of God, you will never fail in life. I make bold to say that. I'm not joking about it. Are you getting my point? No, this is our assignment. That's why we don't beg anybody. We are not beggars because I'm a Nigerian. He said, please, you see, can we help? You know, everything, we are beggars mentality. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo said once. I'm so proud of that statement he made. He said he went abroad somewhere to go and preach, and a man looked at him, a white preacher also, unconsciously, black man from Africa. So he said, oh, I was so blessed by your words today. What needs do you have in your ministry? Bishop said, he looked at the man and said, our ministry have no needs. We only meet needs. If you have needs, tell me. So one of those days he went to preach. Out there, in a foreign country, the pastor, the host pastor, will run up and down because he has financial problems. He called the man, come. What is the problem? The man told him, how much? They want to drive you because you haven't paid your bills. He opened his briefcase and paid the bills for him. I came from Nigeria to your country in America and I'm paying your bills. Do you know why? The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. That's what we are saying. Listen to me, child of God, today. I said you can create
the opportunity for prosperity, both for yourself first and for those around you, if you will imbibe the truth that God is explaining to you in this season. Are you getting the point I'm making here? And that's the responsibility that we have. Now, so I've said all of that to emphasize again. Don't forget, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the good thing that will come upon this earth, even though God wants to bring it, he has to get people to cooperate with him so as to bring it to pass. The man of faith, his main assignment in life is to download the blessings of God from the heavens down onto the earth. That's why God will speak to Abraham. He said, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. That is where God is going actually, is so that everybody will be blessed. He said, in you, all the nations of this earth will be blessed. Are you getting the point? All right. So, but before I can have that effected, I must purify your faith. I must develop your faith so that you will be blessed. Then from there, you will be a blessing to other people. That is, Abraham had the responsibility in his life to create the opportunity for prosperity for the whole of mankind. When he sacrificed Isaac, he was not sacrificing Isaac for himself, that he might be blessed alone, but so as to put God in a kind of, that is, because they were in a kind of covenant relationship, to put God in debt to him. That is, God, now you owe me your own son. I have given you my own. God knew what he was doing. He wanted to put himself in that situation. So when Abraham gave God Isaac, God said, I will give the whole of mankind my only begotten son, Jesus Christ. It was in response, do you get my point, to the faith of Abraham that Jesus Christ came onto the earth. That is, Abraham created the opportunity for blessing for everybody. He created the opportunity for prosperity. So please, what am I trying to say? That you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Not just to sit down and be observing the problems of life. Sit down there and be complaining about how the past leaders have done this. Listen, those who have done their own have done, they have gone. At the point in time, they came and said to Jesus Christ, said, who sinned that this one should be born blind? Was it him or his parents? Jesus said, both of them are irrelevant. He said, but that the glory of God must be shown, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. That is, let me do what I am supposed to do. Then it becomes irrelevant who sent this nation into this kind of problems. Now, the people still sit down and say, our problem is that there was no proper constitutional conference. That one is history. And Lord Lugard was the one that joined Nigeria. We are not one nation. That is a lie. Are you getting my point? The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Well, you must get that point. And, you know, I hear people say that kind of thing. I say, it's born of spiritual lack of intelligence. If you understood spiritual things, you won't say that, make such statements. Those are past things. Are you getting my point? What do? We must walk the walk of him that sent us while it is day. That is the issue. And what I'm preaching today is that it's your responsibility and mine not to continue to look at the past things. Old things have passed away. Are you getting what I say? But to begin to create new things. He said, behold, I, the Lord, I do a new thing. There are old things that have happened. We're not going to dwell upon them and sit down and say, why did this happen? Why did this one happen? We say, okay, now that we are here, now the bad thing that has happened, what are we going to do that we are here? And that's what I'm teaching this season, about creating the opportunity for prosperity. It's your responsibility. It is my responsibility. I hope you've gotten the point I've made so far. Now, before I end today, let me just introduce the first point that's very important for us in this matter of creating the opportunities for prosperity. I was saying something at the very beginning. Let me say it again. The spirit of man is very powerful. Now, I said that God has given him the responsibility to control the things that happen on the earth. Of course, it's not as if he has power in himself, primarily, but the Bible says that the weapon of our warfare are mighty through God. That is, it is our warfare. It's not God's warfare. It's our warfare. It's not Satan's warfare. It's our warfare, not the angel's warfare. That is, we are the ones warring the warfare, but the weapons that we use are mighty through God. That is, we have power through God to do things. Now, so we said that the spirit of man, the people who dwell on this earth, I need to establish that again. They have so much power that the very nature of their souls affect the soil that they step on. Listen, I say it like this all the time. Spiritual things are very real. Are you getting me? Before we knew about radios, before the world began to transmit by radio waves were there. Radio waves were going up and down through space, coming from hundreds of millions of miles away. Then we learned to generate our own. But and we now realize how powerful those waves are. Are you getting my point? You take your phone from here, you call somebody who lives halfway across the world. There was a time people did not know how effective those things could be. But it didn't mean the principles did not exist. What am I going to say? A lot of us are very ignorant of spiritual things. But the fact remains that spiritual things are real. You don't know much about them, does not change the fact that they are real. Please get that point. I'm explaining a principle here that the forces that emanate out of the spirits of people I did a series some time ago titled Generating Spiritual Energy for the Redemption of a Nation. It's a series about 5 different days of teaching. Generating spiritual energy for the redemption of a nation. That is, there are energies that come out of our souls collectively as people on the earth, and it affects the way the very soil upon which we step behave. As a matter of fact, are you getting my point? Now, what I want to focus on is our personal responsibilities in creating a kind of spiritual energy inside each one of us that creates the atmosphere for prosperity around us. Please, it's a matter of fact that the spiritual state you are in, it either attracts good towards you or repels good from you. Are you getting me? That is, you can step into a home, and because you came in, the calamity that will have befallen them that night cannot come near. Now, this interesting part, you may never know, but it works exactly like that. That is, as you move, we are radiating spiritual forces, and they are controlling good around you, all right, or repelling evil away from you. They are there. There are people that the spiritual force in their soul, usually when people walk in sin and iniquity, that's what they call bad luck. I've tried to explain the word luck in previous times. That luck is the colloquial expression, all right? That is, that's how an everyday man defines what it means to be blessed. That is, a man that has bad luck has a negative kind of force on him that's repelling blessing. But the man that is blessed, it begins to manifest as good luck. Now, that is, you will say that, that guy was just lucky. He just happened to have come to that place at that point, and that was exactly when they were looking for him, and he got that job. But what you don't understand is that before he left his home, get me? Before he left his home, something in his soul, a spiritual force had been coming out of him that's calling forth blessing. Now, physically, it's directing him by time and chance to the place where blessings will manifest. Listen, my good example again is the widow of Zarephath. For those who don't understand, who see it from afar, were it not that Elijah was a prophet, that's how most of us have interpreted it, you would have thought that how this woman was so lucky. Let us assume that when God wanted to bless that woman, he sent a rich man that had a good store of resources to go to her house. We would have said, oh, she was just so lucky. But because we now have spiritual understanding, we saw that God actually spoke directly to Elijah to go to the house of that woman. Listen, a lot of blessings that come towards you, God may not have spoken to that person who's bringing it the way he spoke to Elijah, but God actually spiritually still called him and sent him. Do you follow my point? That is, something inside that woman was calling a blessing. That's why I said the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth, that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. That is, as God's eyes are running to and fro, anywhere that he feels that vibration of the spirit, of a perfection of heart towards God, he goes there and does something. Are you getting my point? Listen, your attitude, your life can attract something out of God. One day Jesus was walking, and a woman whose faith has been stirred up, who had heard the word of God, who I am persuaded had been baptized with the baptism of John. One day she walked up to him and touched his garment, the hem of his garment. And instantly Jesus said, I felt virtue. You don't mean the word virtue? Power, spiritual energy go out of me. He turned around and said, somebody touched me. Peter didn't get the point. He said, okay. See the whole world trying to, you know, they are almost mobbing you. You're saying one person touched you. Just say, you don't understand. Somebody has made a demand on my energy. Energy, spiritual power has flowed out of my system. Where did it go? Then we knew the woman had faith because Jesus declared, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Where did the faith come from? It wasn't just that moment. Before that, I'm persuaded, she had gone for the baptism of John, which the Bible says was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And her heart had cried out to God for deliverance. Therefore, God sent words to her. Now, as she was moving about, that's what I'm making here, inside her, that faith in her soul was attracting good. So that the day she touched Jesus Christ, the good inside him came out of his garments into her system. And instantly, she was made whole. Are you getting my point? What will come to you, what will move away from you, is decided by the kind of spiritual energy that your soul is generating. And what we are discussing in this season is how to do what is necessary so as to create those kind of opportunities so that Jesus will walk by your door one day and all your sick will touch him and they will be healed. Are you getting my point? There is what to do. And first of all, that work is on the heart. It's not to clear the bush around and buy land and get power supply to the place. No. It's first to have certain things arranged inside the hearts of you and my heart, and then from inside those spiritual things will start going out that will be automatically drawing good toward us. I hope you have understood that point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.